Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. So if you are a consistent listener to DGS, especially if you've been with me for a few years, you know that every holiday season we do Operation Food Search through Hardee's. And it has been just an absolute unabashed success because of you and your generosity. And every year we cry and we get choked up because it's just so unbelievably amazing what you do. And so we have the guys in from Hardee's, from Operation Food Search. Somebody in the room can tie a cherry stem with their tongue, but I'm not going to say who. Okay, it's Tony. You definitely had fun in high school, didn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, everyone's out there dating, and you're like, I can do it this time. I can do it this time. This is going to vault me into the popular crowd. So Judy and Tony from Hardee's, Judy from Operation Food Search. Rach was talking about what a great live show we had this year. I think it's our best ever.
I do, too.
It was fun.
It was really fun.
Brought in like $7,000. I mean,
yeah.
I knew it was going to be great. Two things. When I walked in, and a guy handed me five $100 bills. And I'm like, you want all the hats? He's like, I don't want a single hat. That's unbelievable. And then when, what's my girl's name?
Adriana
and her brother Leo, who's very quiet, did the keychains and gave us a check for $800. I'm calling it right now. Next year, they're going to do 1,000. Because she was motivated. She's a little star in the making.
She was incredible.
She was really great. So for the uninitiated, or just to give people a reminder, first of all, the need doesn't go away when December 15th hits. The need is all the time, and probably especially now, and you know, snowstorms and people not being able to get out and not being able to work. Walk us through what the mission of OFS is.
OFS has been around since 1981, and we are a very hyper-local nonprofit that really centers our work around hunger relief here, just in the 25 counties that we serve across Missouri and Illinois, St. Louis City and County, all the way into the rural areas of Missouri and Illinois. We meet the immediate need with food distribution. We work with pretty much everyone in the food industry, from farmers to restaurants to wholesalers to grocery stores are some of our biggest food donors. And we recycle food back that's totally good, like yellow bananas, are something that people don't really buy at the grocery store, but they are perfectly good to be able to get them out through our network of nearly 200 food pantries, homeless shelters, emergency shelters. We also teach culinary education for people who are struggling to make the most out of their food buck that they have if they're experiencing food insecurity, so they can make the right choices and enjoy luscious things like my favorite, Hardee's chocolate milkshake. And then we champion change with programs that are like food is medicine, where you can, if you're eating the right food, even if you don't have the money to buy all the food that you would like, that you need to thrive, you can find ways to make it happen so that you can avoid significant disease and heal yourself.
Is there, you've been doing this for so many years, is there a common thread, a commonality between people who need help, or is it literally a kaleidoscope of everybody?
It kind of is a kaleidoscope, and it's something, that's a great question. It's something that we really saw come to the forefront during COVID. Typically in Missouri and across Illinois, across the St. Louis metropolitan bi-state area, our food insecurity rate is, it fluctuates between 12 and 15% across the board. But during COVID, it doubled overnight, more than doubled overnight. And we saw right away how people are skating along. They're doing okay. They could have a little bit of the extras. But when something happens out of the blue, it throws them into the position where they need help. And that's where we come in.
Yeah. Alex, grab Will's mic there. So Alex Ridge is our buddy. He is a sales rep here. He's a personality down on the FMs. He's a local musician, and you're on the Young Professionals Board for OFS?
I am, yeah. And every year we get behind it with an event that we do, and I usually come in here and talk with you guys about it. But it's really cool, and especially for me, because my fiance Annie, a lot of her students actually benefit from Operation Food Search and what Operation Food Search does. And our event specifically focuses on packing backpacks filled with snacks and food and different things so that children don't go hungry for the weekends, that they're not in school and that meals aren't provided for them throughout the week.
That's so cool that you have that perspective through her eyes.
For sure. Yeah, it's really awesome. And to see that, you know, a lot of people, like, look, people are always giving back and everybody wants to always donate or ask for donations, right? But the thing that I think is really cool about Operation Food Search is that you see it impact locally here, and that the dollars that all of these people donated, especially even through this Hardee's campaign, they stay local and they make a change here in our own community.
Yeah. Yeah, amen, brother. Tone, tell me about when you guys got involved with OFS.
Yeah, so we've been doing this our seventh year with DJS, 16 years with OFS. So, you know, I think about this last week with all the weather we had, right? You know, my wife's a teacher as well. So from that standpoint, they got an extra 5-6 days off. Well, that was another weekend kids went without food.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Right? So, man, the impact that it just plays – your neighbor, your friend, your community, you know, it's our favorite time of the year to be able to give back. And that's why it's so important to all of us in this room.
And I love the story, although it's a very sad story, that as I understand the backpack program, the teachers were noticing that kids were losing weight over the weekends.
They were. That was exactly how this program started. Our executive director at the time, it was in 2014, she was at a school lunch in the University City School District. And she was sitting next to a school nurse who just said, I've really been noticing this, and I started weighing kids on Monday. Kids who were missing school on Fridays, kids who were missing school on Mondays, they were coming to the nurse constantly with headaches and stomach aches. And she just kind of got the idea, I think I want to weigh you. And she noticed kids were losing weight. And so my favorite thing to talk about, Sunny Schaefer, who was our former executive director, she was there for 22 years and built this program. And we would start these really big, impactful programs when Sunny would be horrified by something. It was great. So she did a lot of research and found one other program in Arkansas that was doing something. And we're one of the oldest backpack programs in the country and one of the largest ones.
That's great.
Thanks. And it only exists because of the generosity of our community.
Yeah.
This is not supported by any government program. It's about $1.25 million a year just to sustain it, not even to grow it. And so when we talk about this particular year, we raised $45,565, which is amazing and wonderful. And I just wanted to bring up the 7-year total that we've been working with the Dave Glover Show and Hardee's. It is over now $625,000.
Which is over $6 million because you guys can make it.
Because we're magic.
Because you're magic. Yeah. You can make it go 10 times, stretch a dollar into 10.
Right. And so just to put that in real impact terms, 2,700 kids. We talked about it before on the last show. But with this amount, 2,700 kids will have received a full school year of weekend meals via Operation Backpack. Thanks to all of you. Thanks to Hardee's, thanks to the DGS, but thanks to all of the fans and
Wheels,
customers.
That's crazy, right?
That's a lot of kids and that's a lot of weekends.
It's a lot of weekends.
Like a full year is
41 weeks.
It just covering, but it's hard to picture it if you haven't seen it, and I haven't seen it, so it's hard for me to visualize the circumstance. But that number is when you're thinking about every weekend for a year, and then you're saying almost 3,000 kids. That's crazy.
Yeah,
it is. It's a remarkable impact. And just when we think about the kids who really don't know where their next meal is going to come from when they're outside of school, it's about 1 in 4 kids here, almost 1 in 4. And to put it in visual perspective, especially for you, Kevin,
right,
is that's almost enough to fill Busch Stadium 4 times, like every human being in Busch Stadium in a sold out game. Think about that. 4 times. That's how many food insecure kids we have in our region.
And Rach, you've been here the whole time. What has this meant to you?
I mean, it's just incredible. I'm so humbled by the Dave Glover Show audience that they've done this. That $625,000 is DGS listeners. And the fact that we do this year after year and year after year, they show up, and to have kids like Adriana and Leo, who not only came to our remote and donated, but planned ahead and, you know, created these keychains to sell because they're so fired up and so passionate about this. It's just really, really incredible.
Try not to cry, aren't you?
I know, me too. We're all trying not to cry.
Me too.
I know, it's like...
I've been bawling like a baby. I mean, I'm Scottish. I cry if I get a bad parking spot. But like watching the wildfires and seeing the people feeding the people.
Yeah.
Like, it's so immediate.
It's a basic need.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate, the basis, Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Yeah, that's right. It's the only thing I remember from college. Thank God I went. Tone, what's new at Hardee's?
Well, we got our new maple bacon lineup that came out. So we got a maple bacon biscuit in the morning, and we got a maple bacon biscuit, our burger in the afternoon. I think you guys got to taste that this afternoon. We also got the maple biscuit in the morning as well. So we are busy. We are ramping up for our 25th year of Heat Up St. Louis.
Fantastic. When
coming
is
up. So it is on Valentine's Day, February 14th. So go online to heatupstlouis.org. You can order dollar sausage biscuit, dollar egg biscuit, order 25, 50. We had an order this morning for 400 come in.
Nice. From one store?
That's from one person.
No, but I mean, like, they ordered that not from like six stores, but from one place.
No. What are you doing February 13th?
Wheels? I don't know, man. But
come on down to Hampton Avenue.
To cook?
Yeah. 7 a.m. I can teach you how to roll some biscuits out.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Biscuits.
Can we do that? Let's go down.
Come on down. I mean, you go online, you fill out the form, we get it immediately. Megan sends us out to the team. Give us 24-hour notice, and we'll make it happen for anybody.
Man.
Such a great cause.
Yeah.
HeatUpSt.Louis.org.
We'll have you back in before that, and then at least I will be there, and probably the whole show. You tell us which location you want us to be, what time we'll be there.
Sounds great.
Yep. Cool. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
We're going to take some pictures with a big fake check, and we'll post those momentarily. Welcome back, guys. DGS 322. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Thanks for letting me go shoot my Channel 5 stuff yesterday. Thanks for filling in for me. Thanks for being patient. That's going to air on Sunday at 10 p.m. with Mike Bush and the Making a Difference segment. You want some fun facts?
Yes, please.
This one's really fascinating to me. Many deaf people with schizophrenia, you never think about that, right? But of course, you know, of course, it's no respecter of people. Deaf people with schizophrenia don't hear voices in their head, but they do see a disembodied hand signing in their mind.
Really?
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating? So we, those of us who have hearing and have schizophrenia, hear the voices, which, by the way, I just saw something that the best new treatment is to accept and make friends with the voices. That for decades now, we've been trying to teach people how to fight it, and now it's just you have to accept it. I mean, I don't have schizophrenia, but I have lots of quote-unquote voices in my head. You know, the internal monologue is crazy with me. And in my therapy, it's been the same thing. Try to accept it. Try not to give it too much gravitas. But yeah, I thought that was fascinating. They see hands making signs.
I wonder if, you know, because you think a lot of, if you have the internal monologue, you're thinking in words, you're thinking in sentences. I wonder if deaf people think in sign language like that, like the disembodied hand for all of their thoughts.
Yeah. Why
wouldn't
they?
I don't know.
That's really interesting. Yeah. If anyone's, people can listen if they're deaf through different technologies that we have. If anyone out there is.
Yeah. Send us an email.
Send us an email or call up 314-436-7900. That would be fascinating. Dalmatians, you know, they're the firehouse dogs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyone know why? Because they got along, they're the best breed to get along with the horses that pulled the wagons.
Ah, that's good. Yeah. You don't like you don't want antagonism there.
No. I've never known a not insane Dalmatian.
They are high energy.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. I've never been around them very much, but my understanding is they're not the brightest.
The only time you always see, like, in sitcoms and movies, a dog eats a couch. I've only seen that one time, and I saw a Dalmatian eat a couch. Like, not digested, obviously, but I mean, it was a leather couch, big red leather couch. Never forget this when I was a kid, and just ate the damn thing.
Yeah. By the way, I was wrong. They're smart.
You're getting mixed up with another dog.
You know what? And honestly, sometimes the smarter dogs are the ones that get basically anxiety when they don't have
just
things
like
to
people.
Do. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Makes me a friggin' genius. Gen Z, this is nuts. Gen Z would rather text a coworker than have a conversation, even while sitting next to them.
Okay. Well,
do you buy it?
I don't know.
Think it's hyperbole?
I think they get a lot of grief. And I'd say that as a millennial, because 10 years ago, it was like everything
piece
was, the millennials do this. All they do is spend their money
stupid
on avocado toast, and that's why they can't buy a house. It's like, lay off. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. Younger generations can't buy a house because all the wealth is still stuck with people that built the rules.
Just 46% of employees know what is expected of them at work.
What? What percentage?
46. A minority of people in the workplace know what their job is.
That seems really bad.
It does, Wheels. It seems terrible.
Like, how do you not want to explain that to people? Like, hey, buddy, here's what I need you to do.
I guess they're just, like, flying under the radar.
Yeah, what are you doing all day if you're not doing what's expected of you, though?
Oh, I can answer that. When I was a lawyer for 4 years at my big firm, I just walked around with a file looking angry.
Yeah, this is a two-part thing, though, right? Like, because if you don't know, maybe you should ask.
Yeah.
But also, if your bosses aren't letting you know clearly what they expect of you, those are bad bosses.
Well, and I get not wanting to ask because it's like, oh, a month has gone by.
Yeah, I don't want to do more work.
It's kind of on me at this point.
Yeah.
Duncan is experiencing a donut shortage.
What? How?
They just don't have the ingredients to make donuts, I guess.
Which you sell.
Yeah. One time, this is probably my first year in radio, they had 5-cent tacos. And I went through to get some because I was Fat Dave. And they didn't have any. They were out of tacos. And I'm like, Taco Bell is out of tacos. And so I went on the air that day and did my first radio guy rant and really went off. And a guy called in. He was like, listen, I own 45 Taco Bells in town. What can I do to get you to shut up? And I said, I want a 5-cent taco day for my listeners in the DGS. And he agreed.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was so cool. It was my first feeling of any kind of power.
Dave's like flexing.
Oh, completely.
I bring you tacos.
45% of Americans are cool with holiday decor staying up all year.
Yeah, I saw this. Okay, maybe not all year, but all winter I'm cool with, especially with snow on the ground
what
like we have now.
If it's a 12-foot tall skeleton that goes up at Halloween and stays till Easter.
You got one of those?
I don't.
Somebody in your neighborhood?
Yeah, we got one down the street.
Does it have an Easter basket at Easter?
They change it up. Yeah, so it goes from...
All year?
It goes from... Well, last year it was until about April. So it was up from October until April, and now their neighbors, they have dueling skeletons that are in their front yard, and one of them's got a skeleton dog. And they do change it, right? So that one was dressed like Santa. And the dog had reindeer ears.
Has the cuteness worn off?
I think it's funny, but it's one of those things. Like, you hear a good joke from somebody,
yeah,
and then you hear it again, and then you hear it again.
It's not as funny.
It's just yes. So in the basics of it is yeah, it's pretty funny when it's skeletons dressed for Christmas. Like you're like yeah, that's pretty funny. It's not as funny when it's Easter and it's been up there for
yeah
6 months. But there, you know, and again, no beef or anything like that. It's just like okay, guys, it's old.
Last story here. You know the. When someone curses in writing, it's always the exclamation point and an asterisk and all that kind of stuff. You guys are probably too young to remember the comics in the newspaper, but Beetle Bailey and High and Lois,
those
are terrible comics.
Yeah, boring.
Not me. The guy who wrote that, Mort Walker, was the first guy to come up with that. And now it's universal.
Yeah,
that's pretty great. Cool.
Pretty great.
Yep.
Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Dave Murray joins us. Hey, Dave.
Hello there. Hey, you're talking. Was Gen Z who likes to text, even though
yes.
the person might be. My wife does that. And I believe me, we're not Gen Z.
Really?
She texts you while you're in the room?
She will not maybe. I might be in the kitchen. She might be in the family room.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she'll text me. Sometimes I think she just wants record of it. I don't think you ever told me that.
Yeah,
look right here.
That's a good strategy. Susan will do that because like she'll say, hey, when you come upstairs, can you bring a bottle of the Diet Pepsi? I'm like, sure. And then I get upstairs like, where's the Pepsi? I'll be right back.
How often do you guys surprise each other? You've been together for so many decades.
Yeah, 43 years. Almost 44.
So how often does she do or say something where you're like, I did not see that one coming?
It could be as much as once a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and a lot of that, a lot of that's in a good way.
A lot of it.
What I mean, wow. If you know what I mean.
I hope Janice isn't listening. You know, some percentage is pleasant.
Some of it's not so great, but.
Yeah. How are the knees doing, Dave?
I'm getting a shot here in about 45 minutes.
Damn.
That's the second of the three. It's a series of three shots. It's interesting, though, is that, you know, it's supposed to get better and better with each shot, and then you go 6 months. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, I woke up today saying, I need a shot. A shot would be good today.
Yeah. Mm.
So a little warm-up over the next 24 hours?
A little
hours?
Bit, yeah. You know, better than certainly we have been the last few days. However, there is a gigantic Arctic high-pressure system coming down. It starts to take hold over the weekend. That will come out in the details. But tonight is an interesting night. We're in the 20s now, upper 20s. We'll stay in the 20s throughout the night, and actually a little rise in temperature after midnight. Tomorrow, southerly flow, a little breezy, lots of sunshine, 41 for the high. That should feel a little bit better, though. There is a breeze, so we have to kind of keep that in mind. 25 on Thursday night, Friday, partly sunny, some increase in clouds during the afternoon, windy from the south, 48 degrees. Friday night, still looking like periods of rain, could end as a couple of sloppy snowflakes mixed in, but the odds of that are very, very small. By the time we get to 32, the atmosphere is pretty dry. Saturday, the transition day, partly sunny, colder, 37. That will happen like late morning and then a drop in temperature during the afternoon. Sunday, sunny and 19 for the high. Monday and Tuesday, sunny and 15 for the high each day, Monday and Tuesday. On Monday night into Tuesday, the city will probably get down to 3 or 4, which means most of the suburbs will fall below zero. Not a lot below zero, but, you know, who cares? It's below zero, right?
Are you guys doing the trickle your faucet thing that my mom and dad taught me?
No, I'm not currently.
Dave, can you explain this, the technology
of
it?
It's something like, you know, if you let a little trickle of water go through the pipes, they won't freeze, or at least it'll be a lot harder for them to freeze. I think that's really only are you talking about like your outside faucet?
Yes. No. Like
your kitchen sink. Turn that off.
This was so important to my mom and dad. They're from that generation. And they didn't teach me anything else, but they taught me that. And so if you have like a bathroom or a kitchen on a wall, then you open up the cabinet so the heat from the room can get in, and you trickle the water, even a drip, and that keeps the pipes from freezing and bursting. Nothing scared Jack and Francis more than bursting pipes.
Yeah.
Well, that's true, I think, of anybody. You don't want a pipe to burst at all. I think that's especially true if you lose power and you don't have any
Okay.
heat. Yeah,
okay.
I'm gonna keep that going.
I've been doing it.
But you said it's on the exterior walls, right? Like if it's like on an outside wall that where it would get. Okay.
Yep, exactly.
I think we might have done it a few times, but we don't do it like nonstop, regular.
Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Did you guys see that the FDA has banned red dye number 3 from foods? It's found in various candies, food, and beverage products. Some companies have already phased out its use. The ban aligns the U.S. with the European Union, which banned the dye in 1994.
So we've been eating this stuff for a really long time.
Yes, we have.
I wonder if that's everything red. Licorice and Red Hot and Hawaiian Punch.
You have to think some of it occurs naturally, but I mean, I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm going to guess that Flaming Hot Cheetos falls under the red dye number 3, though. So
I think that falls under
about.
A lot of categories. See,
a lot of categories. None of them good.
The SEC is suing Elon Musk, saying he didn't disclose his Twitter ownership on time before buying it. He should have done that in a timely manner before purchasing the platform. The SEC claims that Musk underpaid by at least $150 million for shares he bought after he should have disclosed his ownership of more than 5% of Twitter's shares.
Wouldn't it be amazing that if you were in the position that you could get hit with $150 million and you're like, okay, here's my credit card.
You're like, whatever, bro.
Like, he could literally.
Do you take cash?
He could quite literally make that much in one day, just on interest.
Oh, I bet.
Probably more.
I was going to say, I bet it's more than that.
Yeah.
So TikTok faces a potential ban in the U.S. on the 19th of January unless a sale is made or the Supreme Court intervenes. The app's owner, ByteDance, has not actively sought a buyer. And the Supreme Court seems unlikely to delay the ban. TikTok's lawyers suggest that incoming President Donald Trump could reverse the ban, He's not going to be in power until after the deadline, but they are trying to hold out for Trump to reverse this ban.
Aren't they thinking of selling that to Elon?
You know, that's the rumor, Dave.
Yeah. But
I looked yesterday.
We don't deal in rumors when it comes to headlines.
No.
TikTok came out yesterday and said that it was completely fabricated.
The rest of the DGS is fine with rumors.
But also, if that were the case, is that not something that the government should prevent?
Boy, you talk about a monopoly.
One person having too much ownership over one particular industry.
Especially such an important industry.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree that communications have never been more important than it is today?
Yeah, it's the biggest. The people that run accounts are literally called influencers. Right. You are buying influence when you own those things.
Yeah, good point.
China's Red Note gets 500,000 new U.S. users as the TikTok ban looms. Red Note offers content primarily in Mandarin and has seen a significant increase in new users since the ban has been announced. The app combines elements of TikTok and Pinterest, allowing users to share lifestyle content and product reviews.
I got no problem with that, but you really got to want to see this. Everything's in Chinese, literally. And I understand it that the Chinese people who use it are not super excited that we're now using it and commenting on stuff and all that kind of thing. So,
yeah.
A man accused.
Weird noise.
The whole thing, I thought it was weird.
Rain for a second.
The whole thing is weird. Like, what? We don't have apps that do these things that aren't.
I know. Just use China? Instagram Reels.
Yeah.
I mean.
Now, but people are boycotting that now because that's Meta, right?
Yes.
Yeah. People are really angry at Meta.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the kowtowing to the president and such.
Yeah.
A man accused of stalking Caitlin Clark proclaims himself guilty as charged in his first court appearance. This is really a scary story.
Yeah, he's insane.
He is insane. His name is Michael Lewis, and he's 55 years old, and he seemed erratic and laughed during his court proceedings, claiming he hadn't been taking his medication.
Yeah.
His bond was set at $50,000. He's expressed a desire to remain in custody. If convicted, he could face up to 6 years in prison and a $10,000 fine. He's accused of sending over 800 sexually explicit and threatening messages to Caitlin Clark.
Mm.
So I'm glad he's in custody.
Yes.
And Coors Light, it's changing its name for the worst Monday of the year. They're changing its name to Monday's Light for a limited edition promotion to combat the post-Super Bowl Monday blues. The special packaging is designed to acknowledge the millions of Americans who call out of work the day after the big game.
You think
they're not calling out because they're upset. They're hungover.
You think it's silly that they talk about making that a national holiday?
The day after?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's silly. I mean, I'm as big a sports fan as there is. It's not that hard.
But you don't drink.
Play it on Saturday.
But I mean, like, yeah.
They play it on. I know it's Super Sunday.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. That's a brand. They don't want to change it. But yeah, that makes much, much more sense than saying nobody has to go to work in the entire country.
All right. My final story here. A crucial deadline for Obamacare enrollment has arrived. Wednesday, January 15th. That's today is the deadline for enrolling in health insurance through the Affordable Care Act. So if that's something you need to do, you got to get on it within like the next couple of hours, folks.
Remember when that was everything?
Yeah.
Obamacare. That's all we talked about.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm sure it's the thing that ruined all the things, right?
Yeah. I'm sure that caused all of it. Trace it all back to that. You guys want to hear the top 10 albums since the 21st century?
Yeah.
So since...
Since 2000.
I'm good at math.
Actually, I got the top eight here.
Oh.
Okay.
My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy by Kanye West.
It's a pretty good one.
SOS by, is it SZA?
Yes.
Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
yeah, good job, Dave.
Kendrick Lamar. Folklore by Taylor Swift.
Which Kendrick Lamar? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good Kid, Mad City.
Yep, exactly. I didn't know how to say it. That's pretty bad. It's one thing to like not know the artist.
Yeah, Dave's like, I can't read them.
It's pretty bad when you can't read them.
Well, they're all, everything's in code.
What did I say about, did I say ASAP Rocky? I said it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, then I had to figure out the Charlie bunch of letters. I didn't know how to say that. Like, if you're supposed to say the numbers.
Oh, Charlie XCX.
Yes, right. Because those are Roman numerals. Like, I don't know. Is that supposed
to
be like,
why they gotta make it so hard?
It's gotta be like the Super Bowl. I gotta figure out the numbers here.
Blonde by Frank Ocean.
Good one.
Kid A by Radiohead. I can second
Real
that.
Good one.
And the best album since the turn of the century, Lemonade by Beyonce.
Mm. I mean, wow. I sign off on this list. I think it's pretty good.
It's your
I haven't
list,
heard any of them.
Right? I mean,
yeah, I'm with Dave. Dave's over with me. He and I have been listening to Slipknot the whole century.
Dave, what do you listen to when you listen to something?
I you know this. I love Hawaiian music.
Mm-hmm.
I love a variety of country music I like.
And Jimmy.
Yeah, and Jimmy, of course.
How many times did you see Jimmy?
You know, probably only about 7. I'm not, you know, it was, I didn't really get into Jimmy Buffett until I was probably about 40.
Hmm.
Yeah. Did you go to any of his restaurants ever?
No.
Oh, they're good.
I know his band, right?
No. Well, a couple of the guys are from St. Louis.
Exactly. Yeah. The Mayer Brothers. Yeah. I used to kind of run with them.
And Roger Guth, I think he lives in Nashville now, but he used to live in St. Louis.
Probably the best drummer to come out of St. Louis ever, besides maybe Pisoni. Fantastic drummer.
Yeah.
Absolutely killer. They used to have a band called PM, and it was probably definitely my favorite local band of all time, maybe my favorite band of all time. They were so amazingly talented.
Man.
They hooked up with Jimmy, and they were his band for what, Dave, 20 plus years?
At least, yeah. Maybe more than that.
And then Pete Mayer co-wrote a lot of his last few albums.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing fine.
Roger's written some of his stuff. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the great things is how Jimmy kept that band together.
Yes.
I mean, and it was basically, okay, you go in studio for an album every once in a while, but it's mainly a summer job.
Living down in Key West, man, they were so happy when I'd see them. All right, Dave, thank you. We appreciate it.
All right, I'm going to go see if Janice has any surprises for me.
Let's do. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Wheels, what's going on with Arenado?
Nothing. Nothing.
And that's the problem, right?
Literally nothing has changed since the last time we talked about this. And again, a lot of belief that it's tied into some free agency moves that haven't happened. Alex Bregman still hasn't signed.
Did Mo get over his skis announcing at the GM meetings?
At the winter meetings, yeah. Well, there's something he talked about that with Tom on Sports on a Sunday morning this past Sunday. And he said that the reason he said things the way that he did was because at that time he thought they had a deal locked in. Like, they were just ready to dot the I's and cross the T's, and they thought that that was going to get done. So, obviously, that didn't happen. Maybe that was Houston. Maybe it was something else that we haven't heard about yet. But, yeah, and then he's like, yeah, just, you know, sometimes things change and you don't expect them to. But there's just a lot that's not happening. Like, it really has, you know, kind of slammed to a halt. And it feels like a lot of the names, like, even like Alex Bregman, you know, he's not getting the offers he's wanting, and now there are teams that are apparently trying to offer him shorter-term deals on higher money, and maybe the Cubs are involved now. So with more teams coming in, it's more waiting, it's more seeing what's going on, and then there's only so many teams that are going to have an opportunity for a guy like Arenado. So
yeah.
Is it Boston only, Boston or bust? Because there was kind of that vibe for a little while. Would the Yankees creep in there? Is there some team we're not talking about?
What is the enthusiasm gap for the fans, do you think, if we keep Arenado or if we move him?
I don't think it changes much. I think it's all about the direction and whether he's here or not. There are going to be some questions about how people feel about the team, unless they come out in April and play well.